I want to read some scripture, and then I'll let you stand. My son leaves town and gives me the assignment to preach on speaking in tongues. So, in our spiritual gifts here, which I'm glad to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Same chapter, 14, verse 18. St. Paul saying, I speak with tongues more than you all. Same chapter, verse 39. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. Father, we thank you for every gift of heaven, for the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and for all the gifts that we can unwrap in his presence and in his power. We bind every electronic demon and bind everything that would hinder this message getting forth into the hearts and lives of the people. May the Holy Spirit do what only he can do in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know how much of God you have in your life, but you have all you want. In order to receive what God has for your life, the one requirement, the bottom line, is blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. They shall be filled. If any man thirst, in John 7, let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. To the woman at the well, he said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you a drink, and it'd be a well of water springing up in you under everlasting life. And in 1989, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh work of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to call him. I said long ago, if we'd get our eyes off of nomenclature, we might get an anointing from God in our lives. See, you can call it a hot dog, a coney, a weenie, a frankfurter. I don't care. Put some mustard on it and hand me one. Baptists like to talk about what we call something. But in 1989, in a hotel room in Glorieta, New Mexico, after preaching for over 15 years against the operation of some of the gifts in our day, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and subsequently the gift of speaking in tongues, prayer language, and later a prophetic tongue that can be interpreted. These were gifts of the Holy Spirit, of the living God. And it became a major disruption in my life and in the life of this church. 600 people left the church over a period of 10 years. As this began to, well, over 1,000 came, but 600 left. But, you know, it was a disruption. But it was an awakening. I didn't know it was an awakening until the head of Beeson Divinity School, one of the largest in the nation, wrote of my book, Awakened by the Spirit, that what happened at Central Baptist Church was a mighty act in church history of a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit into the denomination. I stopped one day coming into the city of Chattanooga at the Rest Center and Welcome Center, and there was a book on the Pentecostal Trail that takes you all the way up to Cane Ridge through Tennessee. I opened it up, and there was Abba's house on the trail. God did something significant here. And it included the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to give you four marks of that gift, four blessings of that gift from 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to do that in a moment. But I want to talk to you personally about this. It took a moment in my life when my desperation for God exceeded my ambition on the earth. My hunger for God was greater than my desire to have favor with man in the religious realms, in the religious world. And you will have all of God that you want when there's a desperation in you that says, I want everything he has for me. For over 10 years before I was baptized in the Spirit, the Baptists had fought a war declaring the inerrancy of Scripture. And I fought in that battle, and I'm glad. I'm glad we were able to ferret out the liberals who denied the virgin birth and those things from our schools and from our agencies. But I'm one of these guys, if I believe that every word of the Bible is true, I believe every word of the Bible is true. And so I picked up Gordon Fee's monumental work on the Holy Spirit in the life of St. Paul, a seminary textbook. It's this thick. And when I read that book and saw that Dr. Fee endorsed all the gifts of the Spirit, even though at that time in his own life he had not experienced them all, and I began to realize that this great scholar said, when you read his life, as smart as St. Paul was, all that he had, let me just read Dr. Fee's statement. He says, I was overwhelmed as I realized the depth of Paul's reliance on the supernatural work and power and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul prayed and sang in the Spirit. The legalistic Pharisee who seemed so stern broke out in a joy and freedom at his conversion. Even in describing the kingdom of God, Paul could hardly contain himself as he shouted, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that shattered me. But beyond all of that, my own study of God's word, I was given an assignment to preach at the Southern Baptist Convention, Pastors Conference. There would be 20,000 people in the Superdome at New Orleans. This invitation came after my experience with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord led me to preach from the book of Revelation chapter 2 on the church at Ephesus. And those scriptures will be put up, I hope, for you from Revelation 2 quickly. I'm not preaching it. I'm just telling you my story. We may not get any farther than my story. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, St. Paul said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the candlestick. See, the candlesticks were the church. And you need to understand that the living Lord Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, has a desire, and that is to walk in his church when we gather. To light your candle. He has a desire to do that. He says to this crowd, verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and how you can't bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and found them liars. I mean, they were doctrinally straight. You born and had patience, and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. But here's what he says. I mean, when you read that, you think, man, that's the ideal Baptist church right there. There it is. That's it. But listen to what he says. I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. He looked at that crowd that was working so hard, and he said, you don't love me no more. You don't want to talk to me anymore. You don't enjoy my presence anymore. You don't welcome my presence anymore. You've got it all figured out. Then he goes on to say, remember therefore from where you're fallen. Now here's a church giving a lot, doctrinally sound, you know, working hard. And Jesus says, you have fallen. Then he says to them, repent from where you have fallen and do the first works. Immediately the message came together. And I preached it here in the past. First love, first works. So we're talking about the church at Ephesus. Paulette and I have walked that ground 3 times. The entire city of Ephesus was a magnificent Roman city, filled with Greco-Roman culture. And it was there that Paul stayed longer than he stayed anywhere else, 3 years. And he said, I was there 3 years and I ceased not to warn you day and night with tears. So if he wanted us to show that he's our first love, if he wanted us to do the first works, how many of you would want to know what the first works are? Put your hand up and say, I want to know. All right, now when I tell you, promise not to flee from the doors. Because some of you in your flesh are not going to like what you're about to hear. But in Acts 19, he makes it to Ephesus. This is the first time he's there. This is the recording of the first works in that city. And it says in verse 1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. That's a bad translation. I can prove this to you. You know what this says? We are not so sure that the Holy Spirit is I am. That's what it says in Greek. We're not so sure that the Holy Spirit is. The idea that they not heard of the Holy Ghost and they were disciples of John is moronic. Do you remember John's message that he preached everywhere? John the Baptist, here comes Jesus. There comes one after me, he said, who is mightier than I, whose sandal I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. They had heard of the Holy Spirit, but they had not been taught that the Holy Spirit's God. I'm scared of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm sorry, he's the only God on earth. He's the only God on earth. He is the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the Father. Paul said, into what you were baptized, he said, John's baptism. And Jesus said, John baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, and that is Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. That's the first thing that happened. They got water baptized, because even though they'd been water baptized, they were baptized about something in the past, not something in their future. And so they got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be nervous when someone gets baptized again. It wouldn't hurt some of you who got saved since you were a child or since you made some decision to walk in the covenant water and get baptized biblically. It may be a hindrance if that hasn't happened, that other things of the Spirit hadn't happened in your life. So everybody say, got baptism straight. Well, what else happens? Everybody say first works. I mean, the first thing happens, water's flying. I mean, they're getting baptized. And when Paul said, second thing that happened, he laid hands upon them. We don't know about all that hand laying on. Well, the Bible says it's all right. And the Orthodox Church to this day, the first thing they do after you come out of the water is lay hands and release the charism, the gifts, the charismatic gifts on you. That's in the Orthodox Church. He laid his hands upon them. That's the second thing that happened. Then it says the Holy Ghost came on them. That's the third thing that happened. Well, the Holy Spirit lives in me. Yeah, but has he ever come on you? Well, that's not my nature. I know this is supernatural. This is contrary to your nature. All right, y'all are already nervous. I can feel it. Don't. They were baptized. He laid hands on the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 came on them, and they spake with the T word. I mean, they'd just been saved, really get settled their salvation and had water baptism. And it says, they spake with tongues and prophesied. The gifts begin to operate immediately following their covenant to become a part of the body of Christ, the church, their baptism. So they spake with tongues and prophesied. But of course, there were other members of the group. So look at verse 9 and think about the history of Abba's house. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of them of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. They had to move the church out of the synagogue into another location. Have you ever heard of that happening? Well, Hamilton County has. There were 501 churches when I moved here in 79. There are 1,100 and our population hadn't gone up. See, the answer is, if I don't agree and I don't believe and I haven't been touched by God, instead of staying there, instead of seeing it through, instead of wading through the mess that comes with revival, let me go somewhere else. And the reason some of you have never had what the Holy Spirit wants you is you won't stick long enough to allow the Lord to do a complete and full work in your life. They spake with tongues, prophesied. Then they had to get a new location. Somebody said, well, why didn't you leave and do that? Because I figured it'd be easier for folks to move their membership than me to move my family. And I was called here. And I will be called away. I'm called now to be a member. So if that's irritating, scratch your itchy place, we'll be all right. Now this went on for 2 years. And that's what happened here when it broke out. Conference after conference, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday nights. We had people here to midnight many times. We had an outbreak, we had a Brownsville, we had a revival. That went on here for years, that it operated in the gifts. And I think what's killed it is we've gotten afraid and fearful of what the Holy Spirit might do. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will embarrass you to death. But you'll know He's real in your life. It gets worse or better depending on your perspective as you read this. Everybody say first works. Special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul. I mean, miracles were happening. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, pieces of cloth, and diseases departed from them, and demons went out of them. Jesus said, y'all got it all straight. You've tried every heretic. You've run everybody off that doesn't agree with everything like you want it. You're working hard. You're doing a lot of stuff. But two things are absent. You're not in love with me anymore. You don't want to talk to me in my language anymore. And you don't do. I liked you better when the water was flying and the tongues were manifesting and demons were fleeing and prayer cloths were being taken out of the church and people were being healed. I liked it better than you've fallen. And I want to tell you, folks, I preached that to the Southern Baptists. That was my last invitation. But I've lived long enough to see the Foreign Mission Board reverse their policies that our missionaries couldn't operate in the gifts and say they could. And I've got letters in my desk that say, you were right, years later. I didn't want to be right. I just wanted to be biblical. I didn't want to be a charismatic. I want to be a Bible-believing Christian. I didn't have a desire to join something else. I just wanted to say, yes, if it says don't forbid to speak in tongues, I'm not going to forbid it.
If it says, this is something that's mine, I want it. And I want my people to have it. And I wish I could tell you we packed this building, but people fled in terror. Running. I mean, they're not a bit afraid of all this junk going on in politics, but scared of the sweet Holy Spirit. The dove. And then there's some that are just smarter than Jesus. I mean, Jesus goes and gets tempted to the devil after he's baptized. Do you remember his baptism? Came up out of the water, and it says the Holy Ghost came on him. Now, if the Son of God needed the Holy Ghost to come on him, how well are you doing? Well, Jesus didn't talk a lot about speaking in tongues. Well, you can read about the last chapter of Mark, but yes, he did in John 3. We don't have that passage, so you may actually have to look this up. You remember when Nicodemus got saved? Jesus said to him, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound thereof. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nail your feet down. I'm fixing to blow your feeble mind. When you hear what Jesus told Nicodemus in the Greek text, the Greek word for sound is the word akouo. We get our word acoustic, speaker, acoustic from that word. The word sound is acoustic. When he says you'll hear the sound thereof, young people, it is not a kuo. It is the word phone or phone. You've got a cell phone. You talk on the cell phone. We get our word phonetics from it. All without exception of the Latin fathers and the early church fathers, without exception, translate that word this way. The wind blows where it will, and you will hear an articulated language. You will hear a phoné. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus understood that because he'd read Isaiah 28, which prophesied the gift of tongues. God Almighty has this gift for every Christian. But every Christian doesn't have to receive it. I'm not going to get in an argument about whether it's the initial evidence and all of that. The scriptures nowhere claims anything's the initial evidence except one thing. It says when you're saved, the Holy Ghost cries, Abba, Father, in your heart, and you cry that back. You know you got a daddy. And then daddy will teach you to talk. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not here to underscore anybody's doctrinal statement, what's in this book. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14. Why should I speak in tongues? Let me give you the four reasons real quick. Number one, it releases a joyful new connection to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Many times when tongues are mentioned, we find that individuals magnify God, like in Acts 10, 46. When Mary sang the Magnificat, I believe there was a spiritual language that came out of her. Can't prove it, but here's what she says. While she was singing, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, Luke 1:47. There was something coming out of her spirit. And I believe that songs rise out of the spirit. Many of you remember the old chorus. It was new years ago during the movement. But you remember the old chorus, Majesty. Worship his majesty. Do you think a songwriter sat and labored for days and years over that? Or would you believe that a pastor named Jack Hayford had taken a church, had been professor at a school, took a church, it was very small at that time, got to be big, was praying in his office, went out to pray at the altar of the church, and a silver cloud filled the church. He says, something's wrong with the air conditioning. He's a guy that had a PhD. So he goes back and hides in his office. He peeks back out, and the silver cloud's still there. And a voice says, come out and worship my majesty. And out of that experience, and out of an experience of praying in the Spirit, he wrote the song Majesty. See, as long as the devil can keep you hooked up to your iPad, your iPhone, you won't know that there's something greater and more powerful, that there is a dimension beyond the third dimension called the supernatural realm. There is a heavenly place in Christ Jesus where he's at the right hand of God the Father, and that your natural man can't receive the things that be of God, neither can his equipment, but there is within you the capacity to tune in and to receive and to talk to God yourself. You don't have to go through me or anybody else, and if you don't have the words for it, it's wrong. Romans 8 says, he'll give you the words to pray in the Spirit and communicate with the one you love. It's so irritating, I know, to my wife, and I don't want it to be. But it seems as I get closer to heaven, sometimes I just want to be by myself. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. And if I don't know what to say, I don't say anything. And if he wants me to say something and I don't know what to say, it'll come to my lips and I'll just let it fly. No, God doesn't force you to speak in tongues. I just go ahead and say, move my mouth and make the sound that comes when it does. Well, don't you think through it? No, I don't think through it. I get a word, the Spirit prays through me, then I hear it. In normal conversations, you hear it, think through it, and then say it. And the reason many of you can't speak in tongues or pray in tongues is because you think you're going to hear something and repeat it like you've always done. And you're locked into Western philosophy, Plato and Aristotle and all that stuff, Western civilization. You got to think through it and figure it all out. Well, you go to hell figuring stuff out. I have not seen nor you heard. Not talking about heaven. Talking about the supernatural gifts. What God has prepared for you. The biggest regret you'll have when you get on the other side is when you discover what was available to you by the Holy Spirit that you never laid hold of. It releases a joyful new connection. Number two, it releases spiritual understanding. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That's powerful. See, there's some things we don't understand. Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It means uttered in normal language. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. Wow. That's so strong. There is, and you go read Ephesians, Corinthians, read Paul's letters. There is a hidden wisdom that is older than our solar system. It's there in the Bible. That comes out of the eternal realm and is only available to us by the Spirit. There, and wisdom is not, ooh, spooky, spooky. Wisdom is having the ability to do what knowledge and understanding has told you. Wisdom is how to do it. There's a hidden wisdom that comes, glory to God, but we don't know what to do. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. A steward is a manager. A manager must know how to get and receive resources when they are needed. God has put that into your capacity. And when you are surrounded and don't understand where it's coming from or where it's going or what to do, as a steward of the mysteries of God, as a manager, you have the right to pray with the understanding and with the spirit to release the resources and manage them that God wants to release in your life. Somebody say that's good. The hidden wisdom is a revelation of God's purpose revealed by the Spirit to every praying Christian. 1 John 2:27 put it this way. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And you do not need anyone to teach you. See, there's good teaching. There's teaching, yes. But you can't teach the presence and fullness of the Holy Spirit. I can talk to you about it. But this is an experience you have to have yourself. Don't tell me you're a third generation Pentecostal or second generation Church of God. God has many children, but no grandchildren. Bless God, you got to get this, let God give you this himself. Hallelujah. The anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things that is true and not a lie, just as it is taught you, and you will abide in him. You see, I believe that it gives us a deeper understanding of Scripture. How many of you have ever been reading the verse and something leap off that page into your spirit? Hold your hand up. Ever happened to you? You ever said, that's my verse? The hidden wisdom came to you. Thirdly, the gift of tongues releases power and strength. 1 Corinthians 14:4. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. Now, I had a Baptist fellow, Wag. He told me one time, he said, well, see, this gift of tongues is not for the church. Well, it is for the church when it's the prophetic gift interpreted, yes. But he said, you see, if you speak in tongues, you're just selfish. You edifying yourself. Now, that's moronic to anybody that's an athlete. Now, my grandson that plays football, many mornings he has to be at school at 6 a.m. Not to practice, but to go into a weight room. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And lift weights. And do push-ups. And there's nobody there beating him up to do it. He has to do it. It's called personal training. Individual exercise. Now, to go out on the field and start doing that when everybody's just playing the game would be crazy. That's why there's sometimes you're not supposed to speak in tongues. We don't need you edifying yourself while I'm preaching. We're here to serve the body. But there, just as there's a physical exercise that gets you in shape, and God help me to do more of it, there is a spiritual, the word edify simply means to build up. And when you pray in the Spirit, you are exercising spiritual things in your life, and they're getting stronger. Did everybody understand that? I thought I made that pretty clear, so I'm going to go on. Ephesians 3:16 says we're to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Same word. We can have a mighty strength on the inside. And I love verse 20 of Jude. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, same word, edify, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. The next phrase is keep yourselves in the love of God, which lets me know somehow this is a love language. Number four, and I'm done. It releases a new dimension of worship. The day the Gentile Pentecost took place in Acts chapter 10, Gentile means non-Jew. You had the Jewish Pentecost on Acts 2. the Gentile Pentecost, Acts 10. They had people speaking in tongues just like they did in Acts 2. So it says in Acts 10:46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It was a corporate speaking in tongues. There'll be people tell you, well, nobody should ever speak in tongues in a service unless it's interpreted. Well, that's true if it's a preaching opportunity. But there can be a moment when we're all worshiping and singing, and the pastor say, go ahead and let's just, don't disturb anybody around you, but go ahead and pray in the Spirit. Use your prayer language right now and magnify God with it. That's not unbiblical. The prayer language doesn't have to be interpreted. And then we've had people sing in the Spirit in the last 3 or 4 weeks. You remember the words were up there, and then all of a sudden they were singing something and the words weren't up there. Because out of that moment, the Spirit began to sing. Is there anything wrong with God taking over the church that His Son purchased with His own blood? All right, what's the conclusion of this matter? You know the worst thing about sermons? Number one, they're too long. Jesus took 25 minutes to do the Sermon on the Mount. Don't y'all think we could do better? That's what I told the homiletics class that was here for fresh oil. But the worst thing about our preaching is we'll tell you all this stuff and not tell you what to do. You're sitting out there and say, okay, give me some handles, Pastor. I want to be baptized in the Spirit. I want the evidence of God's name. And some of you have been baptized in the Spirit. That gift has risen up in you, but you just never have released it because you think God's going to jerk your mouth open. No, you have to talk. With stammering lips and another tongue, he said in Isaiah 28, quoted in 1 Corinthians. You got to stammer your lips and move your tongue. And God's not going to force you to do it. God won't force anything on you of the Spirit. He wants you to have it. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what do you have to do? How can it happen? Number one, there's going to be a hunger in you for an intimacy with God. If all you want is a gift so you can show out, act, there's a hunger for a closer intimacy with God. It's the same kind of thing when you fall in love with the person you're going to marry. And when you first meet him, her name was Paulette. And then it became honey. And then it became baby. And then it became sweetheart. And then it was darling every once in a while. Other languages rose up to display that intimacy. And though a weak illustration, I think that's true. And so Yahweh becomes Abba. And we begin to cry, Abba, Father, because we don't know what else to say to the daddy that loves us. And then we just release our spirit, and somehow we're able to communicate beyond the realms of space and time into another realm called the heavenlies, where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And there he pours out his spirit and his gifts upon us. You will have a hunger and intimacy for God. You will sense in your spirit person that God's Spirit is desiring to communicate through you. Three, the Holy Spirit will rise within you. And your spirit man speaks in cooperation with you and your vocal cords. You will hear the tongues after you speak it, not before. That's not Western thinking, that's Eastern thinking. That's why if you get some Arab folks saved, they'll start speaking in tongues the same day. Because they're Eastern thinking. We're Western thinking. We got to study it. Sometimes you can't study something, you just got to release your life to it. Number four, you must exercise your will. You must choose to speak by opening your mouth and allowing the language of heaven and to come forth. Your spirit will learn this language so that there'll be times when the same phrases will begin to flow out of you and will build and will grow from that. For most of you, that won't happen a whole lot here in the church. It'll happen when you're getting up in the morning or when you're going to bed or in a private place or in a moment of desperation in a hospital when you don't know what to pray, but you can communicate with God. It often happens with me if I get down in my little office and put on a little praise music and just get intimate with God. And I find that if I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, that he'll walk with me and talk with me and tell me I am his own. And I can talk back, and I can talk back with the understanding, and then there are times when I talk back in the spirit. And if you don't get anything else this morning, I want you to understand that next to being saved, walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the down payment, Ephesians 1:14, of everything the kingdom's we're going to have when this life is over. He's yours. If you're hungry for God this morning, maybe you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have, but if you're hungry for God, I want you to stand wherever you are. Just stand wherever you are. If you're hungry for God. Lord, for those that are not, would you place a hunger within them? Remove every distraction. Take away the idea of every afternoon activity. Hold them close to you right now, Lord. And Father, for those that have received the mighty baptism, the mighty fullness in their life, and oh, that they can be filled every day fresh, would you stir that gift up in their lives right now by the power of the Holy Spirit? And as worship begins and our musicians begin to play quietly, we want you to begin not only to rise up within them, but Lord, would you fall on some folks in this building today and release your mighty gifts in their life. I want to do two things quickly. If you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, the gifts of God are yours, but the first thing, gift, is his gift of salvation. It happens when you give yourself to him. We want to give you an opportunity right now simply to ask Jesus into your life. Maybe you're watching and you want a spiritual life. Well, it begins by giving your life to Jesus. So right now, let's quieten the music just a little bit. Play a little quieter. Right now, if you would, just pray this prayer. Everybody pray this, even if you are a Christian already. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for my sins. I believe you're alive and hearing me pray. Come into my life. Save me now and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. If you made such a commitment, pastors, come and stand if you would for a moment. If while we were all praying that you got caught on that hook and you realize what you had is not real, or maybe you've never really had an experience with Jesus, when we start this music, I want you to get out of your seat and come down this aisle. If you're not a member of a local church where you're in the atmosphere that cultivates spiritual growth, walk down this aisle and take a pastor by the hand and say, I want to be a part of Abba's house. Make a decision to demonstrate that hunger for God in your life. Now, don't leave, because we're going to pray for folks to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But first, we want to get these connections right. It's good to know you're saved. It's good to be a part of a church where there is an atmosphere of the supernatural. So while they play and while they sing this chorus, down the aisle and say yes to Jesus right now.